It's honestly hard on my eyes with so much light. This monitor is so fucking bright. It's crazy.
You know, we're recording now, and I'm not cutting any of that. Okay. Vox Cascadia podcast.
Yeah, welcome to the Vox Cascadia podcast. I'm talking about my bright-ass monitor, which you can see. I just tabbed away from it, and then we're going to go back to a warm off-white here, and look at that lighting change. Wow.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I actually noticed that a couple episodes ago when your camera had to work less hard too, so your resolution was even better. Welcome everyone. You've heard Tyler. We got our little buddy Connor over there.
Hello.
And then we've got ABC Sean. Sean Ross is joining us tonight, so we can talk about tournament preparation. Tyler and I are going to the Cascade Clash pretty soon. We're going to also talk about purging too, because we're going to do a little help for our buddy Nick and decide how to get rid of shit. So, but first, Sean, say hi. How you been?
I'm good. I'm really good. Thank you guys for having me and to talk about Cascade Clash. I hope that more people join us. We're already at, I think, 32 or 34 tickets sold, so we've only got like 26 or 24 left, something like that. So it's doing really well, but that's always how it goes in that last month as everybody decides to actually buy a ticket finally.
Tyler, did you get your ticket yet?
I bought mine right away.
Yeah, right. No, Tyler was like, did he buy it, he bought it before they sent the email confirmations out, so he wasn't sure if he actually got it.
No, actually, I'm the one lagging on this one, because I just got mine last week, so... And then, but the good news is that Cascade Clash is actually sponsoring this show. So Sean's giving Connor a free ticket. Ooh. So congratulations. Thank you.
Yeah. Sean's does that mean Connor's actually going to go? Cause like, I'll do it. I'll guarantee that right now on camera. Yeah. If Connor shows up, he can play.
I told him he'd sleep on the floor. Tyler and I got a room.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. I'll cover him for the house even. Cause we just had two people drop.
Oh really? Well,
so
I told them Connor, I'm not going to be at the house, so they can.
As long as you don't drive, Connor, you're good to go. The last time you drove, I'm pretty sure his car exploded.
He's muted.
That wasn't my car that exploded. I just have a debuff when I get in as a passenger to people's cars, where I broke Nick's car. Zaren's car like imploded essentially, but thankfully Grant's car was fine, so we had a backup car for the Waver Cascade last time.
I mean, you almost hit somebody in a motorcycle on my car. You were driving my car though.
To be fair, I was like three drinks deep.
Why were you driving?
It was three sodas.
Diet Pepsi's.
Three drinks for Chuck and I, that's, we shouldn't be driving. Three drinks for Connor, it's like...
I'm like on the floor snooping.
Having a sugar crash. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you know, two Mike's Hards and I'm gone for the night. I'm really easy to take to
two Mike's Hards put you in the hospital, dude. Speaking of, we still need to do the icing.
We still owe you that one.
There you go. So when is Cascade Clash, by the way, Sean?
Cascade Clash is March 21st and 22nd.
Cool. Six rounds of Kill Team, a golden ticket on the line. Aegis Games is the sponsor, is that correct?
Yep. They are hosting an entire event. So there will be Age of Sigmar, 40K, I think, Legion Imperialis. I'm not sure. Magic the Gathering is having a tournament there.
It's gonna be Magic Nerds. God damn it!
Oh, we just secured because as you guys know, I'm on the board for a nonprofit, so we've secured a temporary liquor license. There will be booze at the event as well.
That's excellent. Excellent.
Yeah,
we love that.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's it. And thank you for coming, everybody. Tyler, sign us off.
Yeah. Have a great night. We love you. Yeah. All the news has been covered.
Nailed it. 4 minutes out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If anything, don't come. We're good.
So
show up.
Tickets still left. It was a great event last year. Tyler couldn't make it last year because he was sick.
Connor, I got the flu last year. This week I got it last week. So I'm clear. I'm in the clear now. I'm not going to be spreading it to anyone.
I'm worried because like how Connor has a debuff with driving, Tyler has a debuff when it comes to meeting my wife. So anytime that they're nearby each other, something happens and he can't make it.
Shit.
Like, they were both at Tacoma. And he still found a way to dodge her. So I'm genuinely worried that something's going to happen.
You know, I mean, like, we've got 3 days that we'll be up there. Because I'll be up there Friday, you know. And then Saturday, Sunday, you know.
We just bought her her own car, so she should be able to come down whenever we want.
Would you keep her away from it?
Well, so she picked it out. I was like, let's be conservative and get, like, because she wants an SUV. She bought
Sean confirmed Audi. MAGA.
She bought
no, you say I, didn't, I didn't want an SUV. I hate SUVs. I think large cars are annoying as hell. But she wanted a midsize one because she goes diving and stuff like that. So she got an Audi.
Wait, like skydiving or like
Q8?
No, like ocean diving. The RQ5.
That's sick.
Yeah, no, it's really nice. It's like the luxury edition. And I was just like, well, my car's a piece of shit. And then when she went to go pick it up, because she had to go to Linwood to do some like financing stuff with her work, comes back, there's a crack in my windshield. So she like made sure that my car sucks in comparison.
She did that, actually.
Yeah, she took a little piece of
little hammer.
I don't know if she did it. I just know that there's a hairline crack that is growing every time I go over a pothole.
So you don't know that she didn't do it, though?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I know that I have to pay
for it. Has she denied it?
She said that she wanted to fix it before I found out. So
that move.
That sounds like she did it then.
Yeah.
All I know is I'm gonna have to buy a new windshield because it's already like 8 inches long.
True crime podcast. What happened to Sean's windshield?
Actually, the real mystery we're trying to solve, and we're hot on the case. Max is on this. Is where is the straddle girl? Where is Connor, the one that Connor let go and found the love of his life, Sierra, down the road? But we're trying to track her down.
About the one that like sat on his lap.
Yeah, no, that wasn't sitting on his lap. That was full on straddle.
I remember because I was on last time when you guys brought it up.
It's brought up every time at this
point. Yeah, it gets brought up a lot.
I remember that story, and I was like, "How does this guy fumble so much?"
I don't know.
It's like Good Luck Chuck, but he's autistic.
Yeah, kind of something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, we're on the case, and we'll find her, and we're gonna get her on the podcast. So
yeah, it should be.
She's probably got 3 kids by now. Like,
she's probably actually just a spinster because she couldn't. Connor got away, and then she couldn't live the rest of her life knowing that she let him go.
Yeah, maybe she got like really conservative with it because she's like she put herself out there and straddled a stranger. And it didn't work out.
Wasn't a stranger.
She's a nun now. Yeah. She's actually in a convent. So deep in the Himalayas, Connor, or something.
Connor, the only excuse you have is that she's a stranger. So just let me have that. Yeah. She wasn't a stranger and you still fumbled that. It's like you suck.
I didn't suck. I won the day for Halo.
There was no sucking.
That matters most.
Absolutely. Like Halo, come gamers. We're gamers first.
Hose is as I learned from Michael Scott. And then
she went up to him and was like, "Let me play with your dice."
Yeah. I didn't play tabletop games at that point.
That's how Sierra got him.
Pretty much. It was more of like, "Hey, I think you're into me and I'm definitely into you." And I'm like, "Really? You are?" And she's like, "Yes." I was like, "Oh, cool." And she's like, "We should date." And I was like, "Well, that seems pretty fun." And that's pretty much it.
I've never asked you, what does she do for work?
She's a graphic designer. And then
she designed the Krikon logos.
She did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, yeah. I don't have one on the deck. No, like first of all, she's amazing. You're hitting way hotter than me. Above your weight class. So I just know, assumed Connor, that she worked with fine. Like impoverished children because of how direct she was with you.
We figured out that Connor likes dominant women. I mean,
that's what I'm thinking.
How did y'all meet? That's the real question. You and Sierra.
She was just a friend of a friend type thing, and then I like vaguely knew her from like playing online games together type of thing. And one of the times she lived in Portland at the time, and some friends were going down to Portland. And I was going to go with him. I was like, "Hey, you want to hang out?" And she's like, "A date?" And I was like, sure. And then thankfully it was. And then that's how I ended up. I think I've told the story as well. We went to get tacos that night. But then it turns out since it was downtown Portland, I guess, you know, a lot of cities like that, their bathrooms are shared. But the bathroom for that taco place was in a strip club.
So on my
first date with my wife, I saw a different woman's breasts. So, you know.
You need to quit telling that part of the story.
Mm-hmm. I think it's hilarious.
No, I think that's a great part of the story, actually.
I love the part where she walked up and just basically grabbed a hold of him and was like, "Mine." And then...
I mean, yeah, that's...
Happily ever after. Because I'm assuming that's what actually happened.
Basically, Golden, you know, she's like adopting... Connor's golden retriever boyfriend.
Yeah, for sure. Like, so when she's you go to the pound and you get a dog that has no choice.
She's like, this one's my dog.
Yeah,
my boy.
His jokes aren't that bad, and he's funny enough and cute enough that I'll take it. And yeah, I was like, absolutely. Sweet.
I mean, as we've seen again through every episode of this podcast that I've listened to, I don't understand it because I'm not attracted to, you know, men like you are, or men like you.
Wait, what?
But apparently women... Oh, no, I like men.
Connor, did you just out Connor?
No, I'm just saying, like, apparently women just really like Connor because he does better than all of us. He's just unaware.
It's clearly, it's like, he's not a threat at all type of thing. And apparently I'm just too stupid to pick up on very obvious signals.
You're not stupid, you're innocent, and that's why they trust you.
The thing is, you know, Connor may be a good-looking guy with good luck, but, like, he's no Jeremy Spake.
True.
I hope I grow up
to be Jeremy when I'm an adult.
Absolutely. You know,
Jeremy by the way, 10 out of 10.
By the way,
I had dinner with Jeremy Spake and Michael Jeter last week, and this was Thursday, the day the pod released, and Jeremy listened to the podcast. He's like, "Yeah, podcast is okay, but it was kind of missing something this week because last week we did not give Jeremy the love he deserved."
I'm so sorry, Jeremy. Please forgive me.
See, but Jeremy, because he's so amazing, is humble enough to know that he doesn't need it.
I don't know. He was pretty what's going on, guys?
Who doesn't, you know? Yeah, if I had a podcast where they were like, "Oh, let's give a little bit of love every week," you know?
Yeah, like, where's the Jeremy Spake fan club tier on the Patreon?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking of which, join the Patreon if you're not already on the Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/VoxCascadiaPodcast. There's an after show. Like Sean said, Sean's a Patreon member. So, we're going to
end the very first month.
Don't let me sign off without thanking it. Each and every Patreon, Tyler, because I forgot to fucking do it last week. So
we suck at this.
so we start with Zarin and then we do everybody else.
Well, actually, Sam actually is the only Sam's. He's the highest tier Patreon right now. So there's the Zarin level, which is like 1563 or something, or 1569. I don't know what. Sam, only Sam's incredible. is the top tier right now. So
incredible.
Apparently, we talk about Kill Team sometimes, so let's do a little bit of that. So, so we mentioned Sean's got a tournament coming up. Sean, you're going to be TO in the tournament. And we want to figure out how to get ready for a tournament. So, you won the Tacoma Open last year. You won the All-Value Team tournament. You went to Worlds. And the three of us have won little tournaments and stuff. So we're trying to figure out how to do tournament prep, and we really want to, from someone who actually apparently is better at it than us, because my tournament prep is I bought a ticket and I showed up to the tournament. I brought all my widgets and dice. Tyler, what's your tournament prep like?
I decide to go to the tournament is usually about the depth of it.
And then bail.
Sometimes I can't go to tournaments. Anyways, you know, and then I decide morning of what team I'm going to play.
So, I mean, sometimes you've even played that team before. Sometimes you have not.
Sometimes I've not. I'm kind of thinking about Blades of Cain for Clash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to borrow my blades
I could probably, I don't know if I have time to get my blades ready.
Isn't it like 18 models for that team or something? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have all of my hobby time is currently occupied.
But yeah. What about you, Connor?
What's your tournament prep, buddy?
Prep? At one point, it was playing a lot
painting
of games
at 2 a.m. the night before.
Pretty much that. If I'm doing a team I haven't already painted, or it's I don't want to paint at 2 a.m. the night before, so we'll grab Hunter Clade or Nemesis Claw.
I mean, you had a tournament a couple weekends ago. You were talking about bringing Murderwing. Who are you talking about? You're talking
Rogue
about bringing somebody else
because I have them all kit bashed. Yeah. Bashing models. I love building models. I love priming models, and then I don't. And that's where the hobby process stops for about like 9 months.
Hey, do you want to trade? You build and prime, and I'll paint them, and then we.
Weren't you going to pay Nick to build your dwarves or some shit?
He said he was busy.
He's not fucking busy. He's a liar.
I was like ready to drop some serious dollars. Like I was like 2-3 grand. Let's go. But then he saw the list and it was like 7,000 points worth of just dwarves. And he was like, I'm busy. I'm busy.
I see you, Connor.
He's like, I'm so busy. Doing.
I opened it by accident because I was trying to go on Steam and see what time does Slay the Spire 2 drop, because we're deciding if we're going to be playing it at midnight right now.
Or wait, are you going to play that together? Because I'm jealous, because I love Slay the Spire.
Yeah, I love that game. It's one of my friend's favorite games. We've played modded co-op for it many times, but we're trying to figure out what time. I didn't even know
there was a thing.
Oh, yeah, we've modded the fuck out of Slay the Spire 1, but Slay the Spire 2 is coming out March 6th. 10 a.m. it looks like is when it releases, so I'll be playing Slay the Spire 2 at 10 a.m.
Did you see that they made a Slay the Spire board game that's really good?
I did. I haven't ever played that. I heard it's all right, but
Zach told me it was awesome.
But I have not.
I feel like this like sums up our tournament prep.
Yeah.
Talk about it for 2 seconds. And then shiny thing in the corner.
I can play Slay the Spire on my phone. That's half the prep if I'm not driving to the tournament is playing Slay the Spire, because that's an RNG game, and Kill Team's an RNG game, kind of.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting in the mindset.
Yeah.
So let's talk actual tournament prep. So that we're not here all night, as much as I love hanging out with you guys. Actual tournament prep. So first I want to say, yes, I've won some big tournaments last year. Yes, I went to Worlds. I did okay at Worlds. And the biggest thing that goes into that is not prepping for a tournament, but how you prep as a player in general. What that means is... a lot of people know who play me a lot or like practice with me, or I do coaching or stuff like that, is like I have a huge amount of game knowledge. And what that means is like there isn't a team in the game where when we sit down at the table, I ask you, what does your team do again? Like that's not a thing that happens anymore. So that's a level of tournament prep that I approach. If I was a player who's going to a tournament and wants to do well, the main things that I would focus on is one, not focusing on doing well. Your performance does not have any indication of your player skill other than how much you prepare. You shouldn't hold it against yourself. You shouldn't feel negative about it, because it's like you could put all that prep in the world in, and like, yes, I won Tacoma last year. That had a lot to do with prep. Every single team that I played against other than Joshua Kelly in the finals, I had games into. I knew exactly what they did. I knew what their win conditions were, everything else. But then the other part of it is I got really, really lucky. Like, you got to get lucky because there are averages in this game. We've all whiffed 3 different attacks in a row and tried to recover. You have to play from a state that's something that's going to happen every game. If you can mentally prepare yourself for that and not get tilted, then you can do well. So the way I tournament prep is knowing the teams, and the way that I always tell people when I'm coaching or things like that is focus on what's at the top of the meta. Focus down from that, because those are the matchups you're going to experience. An easier way, but a lot more time sensitive, is to look at what the rosters are for the tournament that you're going to. See what everybody's playing. Do a quick little search and read through their just literally ploys, firefight ploys, strap ploys, maybe operatives, faction rules, things like that, equipment. You're looking for the gotchas. If anything, I think somebody out there, if somebody has time to do that, should make like a gotcha list for every kill team.
That'd be really useful.
Right. Because that's what prep is knowing what the gotchas are so you can prepare around it. Because everybody, when they play the game at a higher level, knows, okay, I don't want this model to charge me. What's your movement plus 2? I'm going to stay outside of that, blah, blah, blah. But the gotchas are the big ones, because it's like you could stay 9 inches away from Murder Wing, but then they use that thing where they can move 3 inches during a reposition and they're in your face and oh no, I wasn't prepared for that. Or you charge a Jaeger and you forget that they can shoot you when you charge them. Oh no, I wasn't prepared for that. So that's a level of prep. And then just play like your dice are bad every single game. When I'm coaching, I tell people, if you are performing an action and it doesn't directly score points for you or deny points from the enemy, it's probably not an action worth doing. You have to think about the entire game from that standpoint, which frankly is kind of boring in third edition. But if you're able to do that, I think that that will allow you to perform much better every single time that you play. And then that last little bit is like, you could play towards the meta, sure, but it's better to play a team that you know in and out, so that way you can handle different scenarios as they come up.
And I think one thing, the caveat with this is that this is not like I'm going to my first tournament and I'm just trying to like roll some dice and have fun. This is kind of like you've been to a few tournaments and you are looking to get towards that top cut.
You want to win a golden ticket.
Maybe win a golden ticket. So this isn't. You know, don't just get discouraged if you're listening to us and you're going to your first tournament this weekend and you don't know all the gotchas. Just know your team, know the rules a little bit, and then have a good time.
Also, depending on how much Grant wants to work this weekend, maybe that list of gotchas will be ready. Chuck, nice adding.
Yes, I already added Grant in
it's a good one.
Discord, a good one. Yeah. If By the way, Max says hi, Sean. So
hello, Max. Yeah. Grant is definitely a person that I rely on heavily in our area. If you're on any of the Discords or you're part of the community and you see Zipper Lips, he is one of the most knowledgeable rules people that exists.
You can listen last week and hear him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Grant's rules knowledge and just openness to discuss the game is better than most people who play this game because there's just no bias in it. It's just somebody who wants to know what the game does and have a good time.
Yeah. We have a really great community of rules informed people on the Kill Team Cascadia Discord. If you have a question about the game, we have someone there that can answer it for you pretty definitively. Absolutely. And if you actually come up with a doozy, they will discuss it, you know, in depth, in council, you know, and then come out with an answer. So
we actually, with your guys' help, we finally formed a council because I was tired of DMing the small brothers and Grant and then sometimes Greg and then compiling all the answers and coming up with a solution. So we just all talked to each other individually or in a group chat now. And we started doing that since CritCon in October.
Yep, absolutely. So
Sean, so know your team, know the gotchas for other teams, know the rules. Any other things that you do for tournament prep? Look at the roster a little bit maybe and kind of see if there's a flavor of team.
I look at the roster, a big one, and this isn't just because I'm a tournament organizer. Read the packet. That can really dictate how you play into a tournament. What that means is like scoring conditions should be in the packet. Pairing conditions should be in the packet. Sometimes in the packet, like my own, it'll say what missions are coming up for each round.
What missions will we be playing, Sean?
It's a great segue. So we're only playing six rounds, which means I got to go, what three missions do I not want to play? What would I never want to play in a tournament? And there's two definitive answers, and then the third one that I had to pick. And those two definitives are stake claim. I hate stake claim. And energy cells. I hate energy cells. Mm-hmm. And then the third one that I was like, oh, we'll throw it on the pile. Reboot.
Okay.
All three of those are super low scoring and super uninteractive and kind of shitty, especially if you're a newer player or if you're playing against an elite team. Those three missions are just abysmal to play. So, in this order, the first mission is always one that I do for every single tournament that I do. It's the first mission. Round is loot. The reason why I do that is because we have a lot of new players. We have new players in tournaments, and I love new players, and I want them to have a good time, and loot's really easy to understand, and I want that first game to get out of the way, because usually if you're more experienced at the game, you're just going to win and move on, and it doesn't feel as bad when you lose on loot. So you get that out of the way, and now you've got two distinct groups of people, the people who are tryharding for the win and the people who are there to have a good time. Round two, which is after lunch, because we decided for this tournament that doors are at 10 in the morning because we're going to party. So we do our first round and then immediately go for an hour and a half lunch break. So our second mission is going to be download. I like download. Mm-hmm. It's fun. It's a good little like skill break. Then our round three for day one will be data. Then day two, kind of the same theme. Round 4 will be transmission. Round 5 will be orb. And then we're finishing off the tournament with secure.
Heck yeah.
I like that you're finishing on secure, because by the time you get through 6 rounds in 2 days and a night of partying, you're like, you get to that last round and one, you maybe are out of it and nothing to play for, and you don't want to sweat on something, but it's just nice to finish off on an easy mission. I'm surprised you're not doing stake claim, actually. I kind of like stake claim.
Big reason why I don't use stake claim in tournaments, if I can help it, is imagine you know how to play kill team and you've been playing for the last year, and imagine you just started 3 months ago, and that takes 10 minutes of your setup time to explain stake claim to your opponent.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So, just skip it.
So just to recap, we've got loot, round 1 loot, then download, data. Mm-hmm. Day 2, we're going transmission, orb, and secure.
Yep, and I am posting a screenshot now that we've set it in the Vox chat for people.
Well, this isn't going to go live for like 2 days, so.
Then maybe you should.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they'll get the Zarin cut shortly. So, you know, subscribe to our Patreon, and you can get the early edition if you want to listen to it all raw and uncut, just the way we like them.
Oh yeah, I've been that way my whole life. It's great. My wife says it's pretty awesome.
Amazing. I'm just sad no energy cells. I like that one because I get to do Nemesis Claw bullshit on energy cells.
No, energy cells as Nem Claw is actually amazing, so I'm sorry. So, but you also said you're not coming.
I'm not there, so that's fair. But yeah, I love my C4 plant device.
Look, if I'm not saying anything definitive, but if Connor shows up, that picture that I just posted might be wrong.
Yeah, it could get revised.
So. I'd love for what if he's not playing? What if he just shows up?
It still might be wrong. I don't know.
Depends. I'd love for you to just throw everything out the window just because Connor shows up. You come on the podcast. We tell everybody here's what to prep for. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, round 1 energy cells.
It depends on what he brings me Friday night when we're at the house.
Ooh. That's fair.
I can be persuaded. And speaking of which, William in the Vox chat Discord tried to bribe me about painting rubrics.
I saw that, you know.
Should I tell people what the painting rubric is?
Yeah, let's do
it.
Yeah.
So we thought really hard about what, not necessarily what is a fair rubric or anything like that, because you'll never have a fair rubric with painting. I thought what would me as somebody who is a painter, or somebody like Chuck or Nick, or anyone else that's a, like, even Connor and Tyler, where it's like, you guys are really talented painters, and what would be the thing that would just annoy the shit out of you if you were painting for a competition or painting for a kill team event and you wanted to win an award and you were like, I lost because of this bullshit? So that's what I really thought about when I did this. So we broke it down to do a 100-point rubric, because that's what the hobby track. That's what a hobby track is 100 points. It is. But it's simple. It's very simple. You can be awarded 0 to 10 points for basic tabletop standard. So everybody that's actually trying to win this award is going to get those 10 points no matter what. Basic tabletop standard means your models are painted. And every material is a different color or whatever. You're rendering things. Your guns are metal. Your leather is paint. That's it. That's tabletop standard. The next 25 points is well-painted models with proper basing. Well-painted models, to me, is you don't have any mistakes. Maybe you used a shade, like some Nuln oil here and there. You put a little work into it. I'm not even including edge highlights in that. That's how simple it is.
But if we like edging?
Well, and that's why, as I do too, the next 40 points are advanced painting techniques. So that's going to be edge highlights, volumetric shading, clean blends, detailed faces, maybe some freehanding, OSL, non-metallic metal. Like, you go crazy, that's where the bulk of your points are going to come from, is the effort into the individual models themselves. Because that, to me, is what you're doing it for. Everything else is extra. So that's why the next 25 points are split into two categories, because I don't like doing this stuff, and I don't think it's a metric of somebody if they're a talented painter. So 15 points is going to be theme and storytelling. That's going to be kit bashing, your basing scheme, and if you make a display board. Display boards, yeah, maybe 15 points. It's not a lot. You can skip it, and you can still win. Then that last 10 points is where the judge's perspective and all that kind of stuff comes in, and that is full concept execution. So that's going to be all of the other categories combined to basically weigh you against the other people who are in the top spots. That's where those last 10 points are going to be, is to be like, oh, we got Jeremy Spake versus Mike. Like, mm-hmm. How do we decide who wins? That's where those last 10 points come in.
Okay.
So it's like, focus on your models, focus on a clean basing scheme, focus on a story that you're telling, do a really good job painting them. I don't even care. Like, I'm not one on where it's like, you want to build the models as they come in the box? I support you. You want to paint them as they come in the box, like Chuck does, or I do? I support you. Just do a good job. You know, you're not going to get more points than the other guy just because you did a bunch of kit bashing and some green stuff and you made a display base that took you like 3 days. Skip it. It might actually hurt you.
So with that, talking about kit bashing and teams, you've decided that you're not banning the Shadowhunt box. Shadowhunt, is that it? No.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, the one right there. One right behind you.
What made you decide that? Because there's actually part of my process, and you and I have been talking about this, is trying to figure out what the fuck to play. So, and I kit bashed a Murderwing team, and
they look great.
Thank you. Working on those right now, but I may not play them just because I am going to a tournament the weekend before, and they're probably going to be banned at that. So, how did you decide not to ban this controversial box? We actually go back 2 episodes. We did a whole episode on it.
Yeah. And I listened to that. I thought it was great. I've also been a vocal devil's advocate on the banning conversation in every Discord. You know, I TO for CPTS. We talked about it there. I got involved with it here when you guys made the last podcast about it. I think that it's, for me, it's a really simple answer. I reached out to a lot of people who were thinking about going or were going or things like that. And we're like, does this team being there make you not want to buy the ticket if you haven't bought one already? Or does it make you want to not show up if you've already bought a ticket? And the majority answer was, I don't care. And that to me as a tournament organizer is the only reason to consider it. And only in the case of a GT. Because people really want to go out and spend their money and do, you know, tickets for this event are $85. Mm-hmm. If somebody was like, I'm not going, or I'm asking for a refund because of this fucking team, then it's like, yeah, they're banned. Because I care about the most amount of players having a good time when they show up. You know, the competitive side, it balances itself out if a team's banned. But I'm also really big against banning them for a casual event or a 3-rounder or anything like that where nothing is at stake. It's like, because the entire existence of Warhammer and Kill Team and everything else, it's like, yeah, if you can afford the new thing and you also don't care how it's painted because you finished it in a weekend, you can play it and go try to win. And 9 times out of 10, you're probably not going to win because you just started playing that team like 2 weeks ago and you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yep.
You'll make it to the top. You'll make it to the podium most likely because the team's overpowered, but then you'll lose to somebody who has better game knowledge than you. The real scary people are the people who are incredible at the game no matter what they play, also playing a team that is in a powerful spot, which Brandon Bean, I believe, is bringing Murderwing. If that's like that alone is something I addressed with him, where he even said to me, he's like, hey, if you want to ban this team, I'm not going to hold it against you. And I said to him, I was like, buddy, you and I are good enough friends that I don't give a shit what you think. You could have been offended. I know we'd be okay after this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll do what I want to do. I don't care what you think.
Yep. Yeah, and that's one of the things with running an event. Eventually, like, you got to say, well, it's my event and I'm going to do it my way. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, what I tell people is, I'm like, if you want to do things this way, what I welcome you to do is work with a store, pay for a venue, organize an event, learn the rules so you can TO. You go ahead and you do that. More power to you. I love that for you.
Exactly. You know,
because I started doing this stuff because nobody would do it around here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's kind of how we all end up in this boat, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and sure, I think the team is overpowered. There's been so many teams that are overpowered. Mm-hmm. The big thing that I personally don't like about it is, like all things GW, it feels like financial gatekeeping. Because it's like, can you get a hold of the Shadow Hum box? Can you get a hold of two Shadow Hum boxes for Murderwing? Can you get them built in time and not care how they look because you did a shit job painting them? Let's be real, you painted them a week. And then learn the rules in time to play them well enough at an event. If you're cool with that, like somebody that I'm great friends with, Dan Barton, his models look terrible all the time because he's just like, whatever's powerful, playing it, don't care.
Yeah, if you're going to paint fast, you got to learn the tricks to do it good, you know? So that's my opinion.
Slapshot, like, man. It's what YouTube always talks about.
Yeah, there's some people who go, what's the thing that won't get me in trouble? I'm painting to that standard.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely a thing, you know? Yeah. In 40K, it's a big problem to see people with, like, three-color airbrush, you know, armies. Like,
oh, yeah, he's, like, prime it black. Paint some silver dry brush metallics on it, maybe a little green here and there, and we're good. Mm-hmm. Like, his Canoptic for Worlds looked awful, and he's a great kid, love him, but yeah. Whereas for me, if I was going to do a ban, I'd just go blanket new box, don't care, 3 to 6 month ban, whenever it's addressed in the next data slate. As long as one team from that box was addressed in the data slate, you can play it. That gives me time, that makes sure that people aren't chasing the box and feeling like shit if they don't buy it. If you got it, that gives you time to build it, paint it to the standard that you want, and actually spend time practicing locally and learning the rules so it doesn't feel like a huge gotcha when you face them in a tournament.
Yeah.
Because that's half the reason why these teams that are OP do so well, is you take it to a tournament and nobody knows what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, luckily, Shadow Hunt seems to be really well stocked. Overall,
yeah,
like out of all of the boxes for a minute, you know, it's all over the place. It's still sitting on some shelves, you know.
So I knew it was a big deal when I had to try to get two boxes of Dead Silence. Like, that was hard.
Yes.
But for Shadow Hunt, I got three without trying at all.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Fuck, you need three boxes for?
Well, two for me and then one for Zach.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's you got two boxes. You got Zach one box.
Well, I bought three boxes and then he paid me back. Well, and I one of them was for free because that thing that happened with my dad, they gave me the box for free because they were nice. Yeah.
There you go.
Turns out if you work really well with a store, shout out to Aegis Games, they'll throw you a bone every once in a while, but it might require you to sacrifice your dad to a Chaos God.
Yeah. Been there, done that, you know?
Yeah.
All
right, you can't do it twice. He would have thought it was a great deal.
Yeah, I mean, he would have sacrificed me given the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
My
dad used to love morbid jokes like that, so I think it's great.
All right, so Cascade Clash, March 21st and 22nd, up in Mount Vernon, Washington. There's tickets available. We'll have a link in the show notes. Prize support by Aegis Games.
Aegis Games and ABC Studios.
Yeah.
Big thing that happens with Aegis Games is a lot of the time our prizes for those events are going to be store credit. We have a way for online ordering and things like that for people traveling so you can get the stuff that you want. But I like to go above and beyond. So a couple of things that I'm doing. If you follow Vox Cascadia, which if you're listening to this podcast, you need to get in the Discord. If you're doing that and you're not in the Discord, just shame. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Confusing,
but
that's the best.
Some examples would be: I dropped about $400 to make sure that everybody who attends the events gets three really awesome custom made kill team themed cookies, and I just linked a picture of those in the Vox chat. I've hooked up with Dakota of Squad Games to get Highlander Hobbies brushes for people who win painting awards.
Heck yeah.
Those are amazing brushes. They are my daily drivers. I love them. They are better than Winsor & Newton's. I was shocked that he put that much work into making such a good quality product. So that will be something for people who win painting awards. We're doing the top two. So we're going to give away two boxes of those. And all of that's funded by ABC Studios, which is my company.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome, man. Thanks so much.
You've been doing some pretty cool stuff. Are you allowed to talk about the stuff you've been working on?
Yeah, I can. You know, I've just been super lucky with my life. I think a lot of it has to do with Kill Team, because a lot of the connections that I made are through this game. But one of the things that I got to do was I made connections with somebody who works in production design down in Los Angeles. So the studio, ABC Studios, does all of the 3D printing and production help for Dimension 20.
Heck yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's not just the Dimension 20 show itself. It's actually their entire system, because they're doing a couple of different shows. Like, one of them, I guess, has to do with like Twitch streamers. But we're working with a guy named Rick Perry, who's their main production designer. He lives behind my house on the next street over.
Like in like a shed?
No, like he owns the house that's literally our backyards are like facing each other.
Gotcha.
And we do all the 3D printing for him now. And the only reason why I met him is because great guy up in who works for Aegis Games named Philip reached out to him to learn about production design, and he's like, I need a 3D printer, and he's like, well, I know a guy, and networking.
Heck yeah.
That's great.
So we do that for them now.
That's really cool.
But yeah, we've been pretty lucky this year, and we hope that continues. And the way we will make sure that happens is just keep giving back to the community and doing cool stuff.
Awesome.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah, it's great to see what all the cool things you're doing, Sean.
Absolutely.
So I want to talk about a sensitive subject now. So we've talked about how to prep. I want to talk about a sensitive subject, the Purge.
Just stick your finger in your mouth, no big deal.
No, different Purge. The one
I'm not good at it. Not look the, at me.
And not the one that not the one that's gonna happen in the United States soon.
Sure.
Talking about paring down your collections. So in this hobby, you may have heard there's a thing called pile of shame or pile of opportunity. Connor, Nick, and I are playing shame golf right now to try and help us keep those numbers down. But there comes a time in some hobbyist's life where you've got to move on from some of the let's just call them dumb purchases that you've made. So I want to talk, because I'm actually heading up. Connor and I are going to play a game, Blood Bowl, this weekend.
Yeah.
Part of the reason is Nick needs help with his purge. So we're trying to figure out how to purge and what to purge. So have any of you like taken steps to pare down your hobby? In a perfect world, if you had the ability to pare down your hobby, how would you do it? Because I'm going to be doing this myself too, because there's Santiam, the gaming club, has a swap meet coming up in like 2 weeks. I'm going to be taking a bunch of my shit there too, because I have too much stuff. This closet right behind me here, filled to the brim. There's two giant Costco bins out in the garage. There's shit over there. There's shit everywhere. I need to
hear how Tyler handles this, because I feel like I know how Chuck and Connor handle it, but I feel like Tyler's on my wavelength, so I got to hear this.
I mean, like, how I can't. So first, I'm very I purchase very conservatively with my Warhammer. I do. I purchase very conservatively, and I never pay retail on anything. You know, so
that's
generally, I honestly keep a single bookshelf of unopened kits. That's it. Other than that, it gets open and it gets used. And then as far as my bits, yeah, people have seen, if you check out the Kill Team Cascadia Discord, we have a new battle station section on there. You can see a photo of my work in progress, garage/smoke area, where I will be working on there. And you can see all of like the boxes, and most of those are full of like partial sprues of stuff. And that's like, and I organize by faction and things like that, but, not even all of those are full. Some of them are for just display, you know, good memories.
What about paint?
Paint? I mean, like I bought a bunch of oil paint like 8 years ago. Wait. And I'm still using that
same oil paint mostly.
Yeah. Have you guys ever heard about oil paint?
No, I've never heard of that.
I don't think I've heard.
Tell me about this.
Oil paint is it's similar to acrylic paint, but instead of being plastic and contributing to, you know, the plastic in your bloodstream, you know, it's just linseed oil and pigments
Look, and, what I do, what I eat with my paint is none of your business.
And if you eat it, it'll kill you instead. You know, so really, it's, you know, it's for those of us that like live dangerously.
It's like permadeath version of sipping from the paint cup instead of your soap.
It's not perma. I've accidentally licked my linseed oil brush.
I used to be a brush licker when I painted.
Yeah, but didn't you get cancer at one point? Is that where that came from?
This was before I started painting minis.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to. I thought we had like a through line here on that.
No, if we get it again, we're blaming it on the 3D printers before we blame the paint.
That's fair. That's fair. But yeah, I was a brush licker, and then I switched to oil paints. I licked my brush literally one time in the mineral spirits, and then I go,
it's only one time. If
only one time, and you will never, ever, ever lick your brush again.
Because it tastes like the cheapest well vodka.
Not even that. It's like the worst thing. Oh, it's the worst. Poison. Oh, it's the worst. White spirits is the single worst. And you know.
Have you had Malort when you already were hungover?
Malort's not even that bad. People who say Malort's that bad, they're fucking wusses.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, fucking, it's not that bad.
Yeah, Connor, you've definitely had so much Malort.
I'm fine with Malort. I can do
guy red wine. Gags okay. When you ice him.
I honestly don't think Malort is that different than Jägermeister.
That's actually fair.
That's my hot take.
But we're talking like the cheap, like Skull plastic bottle. It's like $20 for a half gallon vodka that literally smells like rubbing alcohol. So mineral spirits are really close to that.
Yeah, absolutely. But like extra woody.
So I could be saving money on my vodka then?
Well, it depends on if you consider it a problem or a money saving opportunity.
Yeah. It's a problem. I'm spending too much money on my vodka.
Yeah, too much money on my plastic.
You will be
just go to Costco. If you're an alcoholic on a budget, go to Costco. It's the same stuff.
Not everybody lives in Washington where we get good Costco.
Yeah, in Oregon, you can't do that.
Yeah. Oh, you can't even get it in grocery stores.
Wait, why can't you? Oh, because Oregon doesn't. Yeah.
But you guys live in Portland.
I live in Vancouver, so.
It's like 30 minutes away. You go over to Chuck's house, you play Game of Kill Team, you get a gallon of vodka for $20.
I was like an hour plus to my house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, true.
Maybe not how he drives, but.
Well, it's an hour distance wise, but it feels like 5 hours because there's nothing between Salem and Portland.
I luckily I'm a little bit closer now. I used to be on the farthest south of Salem that you could be, basically. Like, and now I'm like 20 minutes north of that. So
okay,
you know,
so
like,
so Connor, how do you purge your minis? Because I know just from the intro of this conversation that I'm a fucking problem, so I want to hear all of this before I tell you guys, and I will post pictures later.
Is the real answer. People get into Kill Team and say, hey, I'm really interested in this Kill Team. I'm like, I think I either bought that team at some point or most of the time got it at an event through like prize or whatnot, and then you can have the box. Otherwise, it's like...
Connor doesn't win events.
I mean, I get them through like the bounty boards and shit.
Yeah. You know, I do occasionally give away stuff, because like I'll buy the team boxes, and then I'll have like need for a helper for some work, and I'll hit up Kit often. I'll be like, hey Kit, come help me lift this TV up into the air at a 7-Eleven, and she'll be like, okay. I'll be like, I'll give you this Kill Team for doing it.
Yeah, not putting it on the wall, just holding a TV up in the air at a 7-Eleven.
Literally, she just has to hold it up in the air for a minute until I mount it, you know, and they just kind of float in the air on a bracket. So,
yeah.
What about you, Chuck?
So this is what I'm trying to decide. So it's, and I've talked to Nick about this a little bit. I have yet to purge any Kill Team stuff, or any like miniature stuff. The most I've ever done is somebody asked for like a bit and I gave them a bit, but I have got like, so I started back in this hobby in 2020, when I think it was what, 8th edition, 40K was coming out, but I've had shit since.
What's that back
the then? late 90s.
No,
it was 8th.
That would have been 8th because 9th dropped in, or no, 10th dropped in 2025.
I'm pretty sure it's the beginning of
9th. So it would have been in. You might have been thinking Psychic Awakening, I think, which was the end of 8th.
No, what was?
It doesn't matter. We don't play 40K. Fuck that game.
No. We got to figure this out now. Indomitus.
Indomitus was 9th.
Was 9th. Okay, 9th then. So 9th edition
of Kill Team 2018 when they released Commanders.
So. I right then at that point was trying to play, was trying to play 40K, and I did end up playing a little bit of 40K. But at that point, I thought I was going to be playing every army in 40K. So I have a bunch of Sisters of Silence. I have like a ton of Space Marines because I was playing Blood Angels. I have a ton of Custodes. I have the launch box for the Votan up there. Never even popped the seal on it.
You got your Imperial Knights box that I need to see.
Wait, you still got that box?
I do have that box, actually. Yeah,
I really think purging minis is a great idea.
Especially for free or at a very steep discount to your friends.
Don't worry about that part.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm gonna help you get rid of that box.
I've got a bunch of Votan shit too, if you wanna help with that. So but I'm trying to figure I got a Sylvaneth like combat patrol or whatever the fuck they are in Age of Sigmar, because I was like, oh, I'm gonna play Age of Sigmar.
The tree people,
2.5 Dominion boxes. And I'm trying to figure out like what's the break off? Do I figure like, okay, I haven't thought about this in 6 months, or I'm not gonna do anything with this in 6 months or a year, or what? Because I do have to get rid of some of this stuff.
So I'm just as bad. But my metric is, am I gonna fucking use this? Like those two Dominion boxes, you're not playing Age of Sigmar. No. You're definitely not playing fucking orcs, non-Iron Jaws orcs, or Stormcast Eternals.
I'm not even gonna play orcs. I'm like,
the hardest part about those Dominion boxes is you can't give those away.
Oh no, I got it given to me. That's how I have it pretty much.
Every game store still has like 10 in the back.
Yeah, I bought it when it came out because I was like, ooh, Age of Sigmar, this is cool. I'm gonna play this. And then I got a free one from, well, not got a free one. I did the VIP ticket to Adepticon, and they gave us a Dominion box. And at that point, I already bought an extra Stormcast half because I thought I was gonna play Age of Sigmar. And yeah, so
you bought a VIP ticket to Adepticon that gave you a Dominion box?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they were handing out Skaventide last year.
That's how you know how worthless that fucking box is.
But the next year they gave away an Into the Dark box. Mm-hmm. So
worth.
Yeah, they were giving that away at LVO 1 year.
I feel like Into the Dark boxes are like a punishment because you have to build them, paint them.
As long
as
it's still the best terrain set they've ever come out with. But it's like, then you got to build and paint it.
Morok exists. Come on, guys. Or no, not Morok. Nachman exists. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. You're banned. We're done talking to you. So, again, I think it comes down to, are you actually using it? If you don't have any plans to play Age of Sigmar in the next 3 years, Age of Sigmar stuff is going to go.
Yeah.
I play Spearhead, so I keep a Spearhead. But I bought like 2,000 points of Iron Jaws Orcs for Age of Sigmar. Then I played it, and they changed, like, they do like the General's Handbook every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it completely changed the balance of the game to where, like, the army that I just invested in is now garbage. And I was like, this sucks. Because I already don't want to spend that kind of money, even though I do. But I also really don't want to paint that many models for an army that I'm, like, kind of okay about. So I was like, done. I don't care. For kill team, I own every kill team in the game. Nothing from season one of second edition. And then there's like a couple in season two that I don't, because they're rotating this year and they also suck, so I'm not playing those. But every season three, every Hive Storm, every team past that I own and has either been built or painted or is in the box. I keep a spreadsheet. I also let people use them and stuff like that, so I think it's worth it to keep them. So my habit now is every time that there's a kill team release, and it's been this way since I think Blood and Zeal, is I just buy two whenever they come out.
You're not helping with this purge. You're.
I'm explaining myself. Yeah. I told you earlier. It was 5 minutes ago. I said I'm gonna be a fucking problem.
Yeah.
The things that I purge are paints.
Okay.
Because I buy entire. Well,
let's pretend that if I don't use them,
I give them away.
Yeah. Well, let's pretend that miniatures are paints. So that's what you do. That's how you get rid of the paint lines you're not using. You just give them away.
Yeah. 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 But it's like I own every I still own every GW paint because I like their paint. It's very hard to use if you're not good at it. I own every single paint for Make Interactive.
Damn, bro.
I gave away all the Duncan Rhodes stuff because I bought all those, and I was like, yeah, they're okay, but I like
the I fucking love the Duncan Rhodes stuff.
I like them. I like them, but I like the AK better.
Yeah.
The AK Gen 3 are pretty killer for acrylics. Like
when I was at LVO, I bought the metal suitcase.
Okay.
The metal suitcase that has one of everything in it.
Yeah.
And then when they came out with their speed paints, the quick gen stuff, I just bought that box. It was
like, what do you think of the quick tints?
They taste terrible. Like, I don't know what they're using to thin those things, but oh my God, you can't use them on your palate. It makes your palate stink like rotten milk.
Okay.
But otherwise, they're awesome because they're matte and they have like good color coverage. I like some of the Vallejo stuff, but it's mostly just the metal color stuff. And then I got rid of all my Pro Acryl because it doesn't work with my workflow because I like to varnish my models between steps.
Pro Acryl can be so weird sometimes. Sometimes it plays...
They're hydrophobic.
Yeah, sometimes it's just fine. Like, it works great with other paints, and then other times I'm getting just everything's beaten up on it.
And like, it's the varnish a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Or if you're using oil paints, it doesn't like the oil paints.
Yep.
I buy oil paints as I need them, so I've got a shitload of those. But that's what the other difference is again, ABC Studios, part of the thing that we do is we do commission access for people. So we bring in people almost like tattoo artists, where it's like, I got time to commission paint, but I don't know how to do my pricing and I don't have a good customer base. And it's like, cool, we'll hook you up with customers. We'll judge your skill. We'll help you price your models and we'll line you up with a customer who's looking for what you can do. And then we're like, we take 3%. Of the commission, and then you go make your money. And we'll make sure that you are getting the appropriate amount of money. That's the big thing that we help out with.
That's so important.
So because of that, my garage is like a full paint studio where like 8 people can be working in there at one time and not bump into each other.
Damn.
Like I've got like an 8-foot table, a bunch of rolling chairs. There's 2 airbrush stations with like 4 airbrushes each for each air compressor. We've got like $10,000 worth of bits, basing materials, bases, whatever you need. 3D printers are all set up if you need stuff that's custom. Every paint, if it's not in my garage for miniature painting, you don't need it. Like that's how the garage is.
Oh yeah.
And that's because me and my business partner, Emily, and my business partner, Mike, have like collectively built that over the last 4 years. And then we just let people come in and get work done. And like, if you want to donate back to what you use, we appreciate it, but it's not required. We just want people to make cool stuff.
So what I'm hearing is Nick and I are just kind of fucked and we need to figure it out on our own.
I think you need to buy a bigger space or start using that garage. Like, you don't need to park in the garage. You got a driveway.
No, I fucking love parking in the garage, dude. It's great.
You know, here's what I'm hearing from Sean is that you guys need to bring all your stuff down to my place and store it at my place because
speaking of storing shit at my place, Tyler.
Yeah.
All the fucking KTC terrain in my garage because you moved and then we were going to go pick it up. You happen to not show up at the tournament.
Well, and I will say I'm also that we haven't even scratched the surface of my biggest problem, which I've had people make fun of me about before. I'm pretty sure there's an audio clip that exists in the KTC archives for this.
Rock and Stone.
I own every single Votan model in max composition. And for those who don't play 40K, what that means is some units come in groups of 5, or you can double them up to a group of 10, but you can only have 3 of each unit at a time. So that means that if it's a group of 5, that can be a group of 10. I own 6 boxes of it. So pretty much every Votan model that exists, I own 6 boxes of it, unless it's less, then it's like 3 or 4.
I've obviously brought this question to the wrong audience. So,
the other 2 people here support you in this whole purge thing.
Tyler doesn't. Tyler said, "Don't park in the garage."
No, I said, bring your stuff down to my house, and we'll just run a little studio instead of Nick coming down to your place. You guys just come down to my place, and we all hobby together. You know, I've already got 500 pieces of terrain I'm currently working on, so.
You still doing that one thing for those other people?
More stuff, new stuff.
But also ew.
You know, I mean, like I've got so many sprues to clip. I'm not even clipping them at this point. I'm just ripping them out of the sprue. Just ripping.
Have you seen those Sonic knives?
Dude, yes, I have, and I would love
from
one
from Dune.
No, it's like a kinda. It's like a little hobby blade that, like, vibrates
really. What I need you to do is I need you to get a cheap Amazon toothbrush, okay, and then 3D print me an adapter. An adapter for a razor blade, or like a hobby knife. So I can have like a $7 Yeah.
They are extremely firm bamboo toothbrushes.
That's what she said.
Look at I'm like pushing really hard right now.
What is this for?
Yeah,
this is for cleaning sprues.
Hmm.
You can basically sand a model with this thing.
Okay.
A pack of them is like $8 on Amazon. It comes with like, it's a 10 pack. And they are the hard, like, it's a problem. Like, if you gently push on, it doesn't move. You have to like push on this thing to get the bristles to move. But you can like sand a model and remove mold lines just with this.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a cool tip. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no.
I'm all about doing the because I'm really, really specific about my mold lines, so I really don't want to spend all day like scraping it with a knife and stuff like that.
Yeah. I just need like, you know, yeah. I need a 3D print attachment for a cheap Amazon toothbrush, so we can all injure ourselves at exponential rates. So I can slice completely gloves through my finger. You know,
buy gloves.
What fun is that?
I mean, I agree. I have a cut right here on my hand. Yeah, no, my answer to this purge conversation, Nick, Chuck, whoever needs this advice, just get more space.
Mm-hmm.
Or quit complaining. Like,
well,
but again, I will say, if you're not going to use it, get rid of it.
Or,
my stuff is Kill Team, because I love Kill Team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then Votan for 40K, because I play that game with Emily. Emily's my best friend, and they like 40K. So I was like, I'll play 40K just so I can hang out with you. But also I'm playing Votan because it's the only army that I'm interested in playing.
Connor, what's your solution?
I mean, if you don't have an immediate plan for it, or like a plan of I can know what I'm going to do with this in 6 months, probably get rid of it, or give me the knights. Definitely, because you're not going to build a knight army anytime soon, but I sure might. Otherwise, if there's a system that you have an interest in, maybe have a box or two for that, and that's it. Like, that's why I have two Sigmar model boxes for Mordheim at some point. So it's like, you know, if someone ever starts a Mordheim, I can build a little...
Sigmar for Mordheim?
Well, yeah, because I don't like the older models. Like, I get that they're really cool, but they just look bad, especially the human ones, and I'd rather use the new Cities of Sigmar guys, because they look fucking cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, fair.
Like, the Flagellants kit for Cities of Sigmar looks great, but everything else, like, I can see why.
Did you say Flagellants? Like,
what's up? Flagellants? I don't know.
Flagellants?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, there's one caveat to this, and maybe this is just because we're older and we've done a little bit of our, like, paying our dues. But this is for the younger people, specifically. The real trick to this problem is... don't buy models if you don't have the money to just throw away. Mm-hmm. If it's not something where if somebody just snatched that money out of your pocket and you're like, that sucks, but I'm not that mad about it, don't spend it on minis.
Yep.
Like, you got responsibilities.
Responsibilities first.
Pay your bills. Always later. Put some money in savings. Maybe worry about a retirement account.
Or... and
spend as much as you want on minis. I don't care.
Or we start investing
to like retirement.
Why do you think that was the last thing I said?
Maybe here's the other thing. Okay, just throw this out there for the less responsible or the more adventurous of us. with the upcoming Amazon show, okay, Warhammer is bound to gain some popularity. We've already seen how nerd stuff blows up in price. So maybe instead of, you know, eating out or buying yourself necessities, after you pay your bare minimum bills, you buy all of the made-to-order stuff you can afford.
See, that's what's up, because Warhammer does not depreciate in value, especially... Mm-hmm. Here's the real trick. Don't call it a pile of shame. Call it... an investment. Absolutely. As long as you leave it in the box and sealed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an investment. And especially,
you will never ever sell that box for less than what you paid for.
Especially the you know, anytime like the limited edition metal stuff comes out, you know, mm-hmm. just buy all like it was all the chapter masters and librarians.
The Cody set.
Yeah, absolutely.
Leave it sealed in the box. Uh-huh. If you want to play with it, wait until you're ready to play with it.
Yep.
Don't. That's the real trick. Don't start clipping and building and priming that shit like Connor mm-hmm. does. If you're not going to paint it all the way to completion,
yep.
if you're not going to finish the job, if you will, leave it unwrapped or leave it in the box. Just
agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Don't edge yourself on minis.
I like edging on minis. It's a good time. But yeah, if you don't want to play it,
is that what you use for instead of
don't worry like about it.
Varnishing?
Yes. I hate I don't think I've ever actually varnished a model.
Is that, please come to clash with your fucking Iron Warriors models. I'm just going to rub them.
Don't. I mean, I make them smooch every time.
Like, oh, no, you didn't varnish it. Oh, no.
Why would you? I mean, like,
ashamed if somebody
I've never varnished anything either. Don't get your fucking Cheeto hands off my miniature.
Like, I get that, like, apparently the oil in your hand over time will get rid of it, but I've touched the same AbMech models since, like, 2020, and I've noticed no difference on them.
How hard is it to varnish your models?
It's that's not hard, saying. But that's just another step, and I don't want to.
It's do not it. Like it's making them ugly.
That's why I use oil paint. It dries hard as a rock.
Mm. Just fucking varnish your models. It's not that hard. Anything.
You know what's even easier than varnishing? Not varnishing, because that's just the thing you don't have to worry about then, and it works. So yeah, Chuck, 6 months.
I like when they show their age. You know, yeah. like. It's like, makes them vintage, right?
Yeah, it's like no, I'm not gonna say that. That's
I don't know if I'm mm. if I'm cool with this anymore.
6 months, Chuck. Step two, if it's a game system, you know, people in the area are somewhat interested. Like I know there's always more time going on at some of my local stores, so that's why I have like some Sigmar stuff. Step three, if it's Heresy, always keep it because I'll always play Heresy with you.
No, I know
it's not a popular take, but
Alex can play Heresy.
And
with
you know
each
what? I got like three other people in my area into it recently, so I'm having a gay old time.
There's like eight people in your area. Let it go.
It's more than Bellingham.
I love inner Washington beef because, like, I
don't have to take a ferry and an 8-hour drive through Shelton to get to a place to play in Bremerton.
You're also like a 12-hour flight away from Portland,
yeah,
too.
Also, so. We have like five game stores here. Like
that's fair.
Not even including the ferry. There's like five stores to play Warhammer in Bremerton now. It's gotcha. Great.
I love when
but it's still Bremerton. Like you guys.
Okay.
See, maybe that's what in Bremerton, like most of the people either work for the military or the naval base or you can't afford Warhammer models. I bet 3D printing's a real problem up there.
I don't know. I'm not a bitch that 3D prints. I just buy.
That's because you work at the naval base.
No, I just you know, support the company. GW is a small indie company, and they need our money.
Absolutely.
To make
the subtext here is not poor.
All right. Speaking of supporting, support the Cascade Clash, and we'll have a link in the show notes. Sean, ABC Studios, we'll put all your links in the show notes as well too.
Yes.
Any socials you want to share? Anything else you want to plug?
I think my Instagram's like ABC Minis.
Yeah, I see you on there every once in a while.
So I'll say this. I just don't care. I do stuff to hang out with my friends. I don't care if people think I'm cool or check my shit out.
You know who I think is cool?
I'm definitely not going to post my like Hunter Clade or Battle Clade or AdMech updates for people who didn't ask. Like, that's just not my style.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of you use social media a little differently, so I'm just looking
at... Yeah, I'm not judging. You know, I would never judge.
I had multiple people reaching out to me.
Why are you apologizing? I would never judge you.
I mean, you didn't throw him
shade
there.
You literally just threw him shade.
It's just because I'm not judging. I'm just pointing out a fact.
I'm pointing out a fact that people reached out to me, so I made a resource for them.
Second edition. It's been 2 years.
Okay.
And all right. So
I love you, Connor. I'm just fucking with you, buddy.
Connor, I like your guide too. It's great.
Yeah.
I think it was actually really good.
It helped me build them and never play them because I never got them.
You never played them. But you did paint one Iron Mech model and you threw it in the trash.
I painted a single. I pulled it back out. Yeah. Hey. But you know who's not trash is our Patreons. So absolutely. I want to say thank you to Patreons. So Sam is the top tier. The Sam's only Sam's, Zarin, Cody, Zach, Greg, Rob McLeod. God, your fucking LAFC just screwed up Miami this past weekend. Good job, buddy. Ryan Hagedorn, James Happy Stick, Adam, whose wife reads Morning Glory and got me into that book too. Sean.
My girlfriend just finished that today, actually.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Is it the milking one?
Uh-huh. I'm trying to finish to that one, too. Sean is Lunch Money for Connor. Nick, Holly, Scott, Keaton, Watermelonite, Mark Meyer from Vox Scream, Max, Social Media Goddess, thanks, William, Max. Tristan, and Riley. So thank you, everybody, for
we appreciate supporting y'all.
Us. We do appreciate it, and I'm sorry we haven't shouted you out. So let's get to the after show, and we can... Mm-hmm. So get you some shit you actually pay for.
We love you. Nice. Good night.
Good night.